Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode 24. I'm Janice Cunning.
And I'm David Langiuli.
So David, this is our last podcast of 2018.
Oh, I'm going to cry. Actually, I want to acknowledge you, Janice, for leading from the front on creating our podcast this year. It's actually a really big accomplishment, which is, that's what we're going to talk about.
We are. Today. I know. Yeah. I have that on my list. Yeah. Yeah. So we thought it would be kind of fun to talk about, you know, what happened, like reflect back on 2018 and celebrate. And this ties into the blog post that we did last week where we have some questions that we invite you to ponder. So we're not going to go through them all, but we're going to share a few of our highlights and lowlights.
Yeah. I really like your blog post that you wrote, Janice. And so for the audience, if you haven't seen that, Janice wrote a year-end blog post, and she incorporated some of the questions that she likes to explore at the end of the year. And so we're going to go through some of those here with you on the podcast. And if you want a deeper dive, take a look at her blog post, which actually has the list of questions you can consider.
Great. All right. Yeah. So why don't we kick off? I'm going to start with what I most enjoyed last year.
Well, what did you most enjoy this year?
So, you know what? The interesting thing is, there's two things, and one is very similar to the year before, which is co-leading with you and Sylvia our online courses, which, you know, when we started them in 2017, like, it was a bit of an experiment to think, like, can we do the kind of work that we're used to doing with people in person on video? Format, and can we still build the same kind of, you know, connection and have people really step into being vulnerable and sharing and participating? And yes, we can.
Yes, we can, and we did. And you know what I love about that is what you're saying, Janice, is that I find those the delivery of those courses also very enjoyable, and there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that the folks who take the course aren't aware of, and even Sylvia, who she really enjoys the delivery also.
Yeah.
And but you and I, there's like a lot of particles and a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we handle. And I don't think either of us really enjoys that all that much, but we know it has to get done to create the experience that our participants get. And so we're willing to do it.
Yeah. And that's why, like, I asked that one of the questions is like, what didn't I enjoy, but I'm glad that I did it, right? Because I think there are sometimes things that are really hard and you're slogging through, but then afterwards you feel really quite proud. And then also it allows you, like you're saying, to do something that you really do enjoy, you know, and we all have those parts of our jobs that are like that. And yeah, I think in reflecting, like what I love about those courses is that it gives us like a longer time frame with people, you know. So we meet with people twice a week over the month, and it really gives us time to get to know them and for them to get to know each other and take in what's happening in the course and like apply it to their work and then come back and share that. And so I just feel like it really has become a powerful and it's always surprising. It's always different, you know, because each group of people is different. And so, yeah, I just really love that this year.
Yeah, me too. So, me too.
Yeah. And the other thing I most enjoyed was, as you know, over the last couple of years, I had served on a few different boards, and I finished my board service with the International Coach Federation Toronto chapter. And I was looking for, originally, I thought I was going to join another board. And then I got asked to participate a little bit more fully in some volunteer work that I do, where I support people who are going through the leadership program that you and I did and met at, and that Sylvia did as well in Spain. And So there's so many things that I love about that, but I think it kind of connects to my value of community. Like it's, mm-hmm. it's the kind of volunteer thing where even though we're all over the world and it's virtual, we really, aside from the work that we do together, we have a lot of calls, we have book clubs, you know, we have connection calls. And so I just really feel like I'm part of something bigger, which I love. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. It's, you are part of something bigger. You're growing leaders. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what we do at Fundraising Leadership, although with a focus on leaders in the nonprofit world. Yeah. So yeah, I can totally see how you enjoy that. Yeah.
Yeah. So what about you? What have you been reflecting on?
Oh gosh, so many good things. One of the things that in that same context that you and I were part of together that's was beyond the fundraising leadership community was we created, we were part of a pod, a group of people that created a series of weekend retreats across North America in 2018. Leaders across North America. And so I was, I helped launch it in Orlando and then saw the completion in Boulder, Colorado, with someone who's going to do some more work with us in the new year, Michelle Malloy Dillon. And you were there mm-hmm. for the Boulder retreat and several other of yeah, the retreats.
I was in DC and I co-led Toronto. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of something that I really enjoyed. I enjoyed all the people that got involved. I enjoyed the ups and downs of it and the ins and outs of it. And I'm pretty satisfied with how that unfolded. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for me, like, one thing we said a lot was leaders show up. Like a lot, you know, and in Boulder, it's like we showed up. We didn't know what we were going to be doing. We had a little bit of a sense of who was coming. And we just created from what was there in that moment. And it's right. like, if you don't show up, then nothing can happen.
Exactly. Boy, that is just rings so true. I think that was a big learning this past year, just more of a reinforcement. I know we say that and it's so true. People show up and amazing things happen. I'm also excited that, so you know that, in 2015, I co-created something called the Conscious Leadership Tribe with, Cam Lesh, one of our leadership program participants, tribe mates. And he and I created this tribe out of a book or from, created from mm-hmm. A book called The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. And that group has grown over the years, kind of organically, people from the nonprofit world, people from corporate, people from the government sector. And it seemed like it seemed like it was coming to a natural end of the arc of that tribe, like that tribe might disperse. And we had a really conscious call about it here at the end of the year, and the life got breathed into it again. So there's a new arc. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a surprise for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about when you were saying with the coactive journey, like when it completed, like I felt so complete. Like it's nice to notice like when something is finished and when it feels like, yeah, there is more to do here and have that consciousness.
Well, and I feel like what you're saying is, I like what you're saying because this is the time of year to look at what you do. This is about like, yeah, what you do and who you are, but really look at what you're doing and is there anything that's complete that you don't want to do next year?
Yeah.
Like, is there anything on your list that you're going to stop doing?
Well, the one thing, and I'm still kind of pondering it and will be discussing with my accountability partner, Sally, who's a big part of this year-end review for me, is that I did end up, in addition to the things that you and Sylvia and I do together, and I did a few things myself, and I realized, like, actually, I enjoy doing things on my own if it's in person, because then I really feel like I'm creating, like, with the people in the room. But I did some things online by myself, and that feels like it's not something I want to do anymore, because holding energy online is different, you know, and requires something different. And I just don't think it has the same impact. So that's my thing.
I like that. I'm pretty well aligned with you on that. Anymore these days, there isn't much that I like to do in a solitary fashion, other than maybe go for a run and a swim on the beach on Sundays, which is part of my routine. And now that is easier to do. That a big thing for us in my personal life was we sold our house and moved out to a condo by the beach. That was a big, big, like, it was so interesting. Like, in the beginning of 2018, this is something that we've wanted for a while, my wife and I. And so I put it on my sort of OGSM, personal, you know, objectives, goals, strategies, and metrics for the year. And well, by mid-year, it had happened. We had sold our house and moved into the condo by the beach. So now I can have my solitary runs and swims. That's one of the things I like to do by myself.
Yeah.
I don't mind having anybody. By the way, anyone in the audience, if you want to come visit me in Naples, I'll gladly go for a run and a swim with you. The invitation is open.
Yes. So I'm thinking about what I didn't enjoy as much. And now I'm thinking about what I didn't enjoy, but I'm glad I did, which is a different question that I ask. And one of the things that, you know, you saw me kind of witnessed my growth in this area this year was that I, as much as we teach about, you know, having difficult conversations and the power of conflict, it's not my favorite thing. And we had, I had to really lean into some difficult conversations and be more forthright about how I was feeling about certain things. And that's something that I really feel proud and I'm glad that I had those experiences. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel this year I grew more in that area than I have in the past.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think is like the result of that?
I think it helps. Like, so for me, probably there's many things, but probably the biggest thing is like owning, like really owning how I feel and being willing to say it and not sort of like just say it and then see what the reaction is and stay with it and be willing to kind of, like we say in leadership, like you can make a mess and then you stay and clean it up. But before I would have been too hesitant to, I would have overthought how to say it. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, okay, I can say it powerfully and from a true place. And then I can just stay and work through whatever comes from that. And what comes from that, I mean, truthfully, is a greater depth of relationship with people when you're willing to, you know, be honest about how you're feeling, the impact of certain things.
Yeah, I would say what I experienced when you step into conflict, because I was part of some of those conversations, is that there's more clarity comes out of it afterwards. Mm-hmm. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
So I was grateful to be part of that, a witness to it, supportive of it.
Yeah. Well, you are someone who's good at that. And so your just presence in my life helps me to step into that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. And what was a big, in addition to leaning into more conflict. Like that's hard, even hard to say. Like sometimes like, I lean into conflict, you know, like some people are like, you did what?
On purpose?
On purpose. You actually generated conflict. Yes. Yeah. What is there like a big learning? I know you have the learnings from that, but is there anything else?
I think one thing that I was reflecting on is just, it's actually kind of a gratitude too, like running our own business, like having the space and flexibility, like you said, to like do our coactive journey this year, you know, for me to be doing my volunteer work. You know, I'm back at the leadership program we met in assisting over the next 10 months. And so I think I'm like feeling appreciative of the space to do that and like understanding that that's all part of like what we're creating together. You know, mm-hmm. it's a holistic kind of part of being a leader in the world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I like that you use the word creating together. The creativity part, I feel, really resonates with me in being an entrepreneur and being able to, you know, create stuff. And well, I know we started our discussions for 2019, and this is kind of, it's like a two bookends that come around on each other, right? You're ending one year and now you're starting a new year. And one of the things that we are intentional about for 2019 is actually to create a little less and just offer a little more of what we've already created.
Yes. We've been in big time creation mode for the past 2 years. So,
although I will share with the audience a little secret. If you'll let me.
Of course. I don't know what it is, but go ahead.
Oh, well, for those in the audience that are first-time managers, we've got something cooking for you. We've put it on the stove. It's simmering. The ingredients are going into the pot. I'm stirring it. And then Janice is going to come into the kitchen and add her magic and something, and we're going to serve it up.
There you go.
For in the new year. For
yeah. So anything else you want to share about 2018 before we give our people something to try?
Yeah. For the past couple years, I've been very much in a mode, like from a business development standpoint for fundraising leadership, I've taken very much like a major gifts approach to it, you know, connecting with people, having conversations that lead to proposals, that lead to programs that we do or coaching clients. I'm going to ease off. This is like a my trigger, a lot of people in the audience. I'm actually going to ease off that in 2019. Ease off the metrics. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something we call sourcing rather than forcing. So for new business in 2019, so sourcing is a way of holding an intention. Like I have an intention of having 10 new clients next year, coaching clients. Mm-hmm. Not quite sure how that's going to happen or when. And I'm not going to drive it. Like there's a way, like in fundraising, like you drive to the metrics and that's fine. That produces some kind of result. But then it doesn't really leave a lot of space for surprise or, joy. You're really just following the numbers. So anyway, I don't know quite how that's going to look, but that's going to be something different this year. Yeah.
Good. All right. So we're going to invite all of you who are listening to take a look at the blog post and review the questions. And like, you know, I probably spent about an hour and a half this morning, like writing out my answers. So just, you know, take some time. And then what we really want to invite you to do is like then do what we just did, like find a colleague or a close friend or, you know, a family member, whoever you feel comfortable with, and you could ask them to obviously do the same thing and then have a discussion about it and really, mm-hmm. you know, celebrate what went well, what didn't go well, and what you learned.
Right. And just to give some more context, as you consider that invitation, there is a way of creating an accountability structure like what Janice is suggesting on your team. And we've been doing a free workshop for folks on that topic, both live and now online. So in, I guess it's January 31st, Janice, we're going to be hosting one of our live accountability workshops where you can experience and learn what it's like to create a culture of accountability in the workplace. So that's a complimentary webinar we're going to do. We like to call it like an online workshop. And that you can find that on the Fundraising Leadership website. And we invite you to join us and learn more about creating these accountability structures. So yeah.
Great.
That's about it.
All right. So we're going to say go put it into practice. We're going to say Happy New Year, because we will talk to you next year.
All right. Happy New Year. Take care.